It's good to see you this morning. Glad that you're here. Hope you've had a good week. And continue to pray for Miss Kay as she's recovering from some health issues. And we talked to her yesterday, and she said the doctors are working on getting her medicine squared, you know, changed out. So maybe that will help some. And but let's continue to pray for her. And appreciate your prayers as well. I'm battling a sinus infection those are horrible. So spring is a great time of year. It makes everything pretty, but when everything's pretty and budding, it makes those with sinus trouble. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to read verses 11 through 22, and I've titled this morning's message, Playing God Says or Simon Says. You know, I remember when in school, you know, you'd play the little Simon Says game, and, you know, somebody would tell you to do something, and if they said Simon Says and you did it, you were still in the game. But if Simon didn't say, you're out, and you lost the game. So, you know, we tend to like having things that are in our control, and oftentimes people try to put God under their control, and that doesn't work. So that's what Isaiah's message today to the people are, is that you can't play what you want. You can't say, you know, give direction to God. God is the one that gives us direction. He's the one that's the Lord. So let's take a look, beginning in verse 11 of Isaiah chapter 8. For the Lord spoke thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, do not say a conspiracy concerning all that this people call a conspiracy, nor be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He will be as your sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to the house of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble. They shall fall and be broken and snared and taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among the disciples, and I will wait on the Lord, and who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Here am I and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are the signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwells in Zion. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They will pass through it hard-pressed and hungry. And it shall happen when they are hungry that they will be enraged and curse their king and their God and look upward. And they will look at the earth and see trouble and darkness and gloom of anguish, and they will be driven into darkness. And what a contrasting message that Isaiah gives. And what amazes me, and we say this often, Isaiah lived nearly 3,000 years ago. Long, long time. But as we read his word, not only was it so very applicable in his day, a lot of things that are applicable to us today in 2021. We certainly are living in a world where people are choosing to be the makers of their own way rather than allowing God to be the Lord. And they're trying to trust in themselves and, you know, trusting in government, trusting in riches and, and government and money and those in themselves are not bad. But when that's the source of your trust and your security, that is bad. that our source of security and strength needs to be the Lord. He is the only one that is all-knowing and all-powerful, and will never leave us and never forsake us. And so the prophet Isaiah gives this message, warning that, hey, listen, Assyria is going to come and invade God's land. But it's not because God is evil. It's not because even God has forgotten or left behind the nation of Israel. Rather, it's because many in the nation of Israel have left the Lord behind. And it's the same with us. When God is not near to us as He once was, it's not God that moved. It's us that moved. And the, I guess, secret recipe or the instruction of getting back to God is not saying, God, hey, come over here, change your ways. It's us saying, you know what? I'm heading in the wrong direction. I need to get back in the Godward direction of life. And so there's three things we find about this passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 8. And the first is this, that there is a choice to be made. You know what? God gives every one of us the ability to choose. And He gives us corporately the ability to choose. But just because God has allowed us to choose does not mean that we are free of the consequences of our choices. If we make good choices, there'll be good consequences that follow. If we make bad choices, we shouldn't be surprised when bad consequences soon follow. And so, you know, and as we look through the Bible and the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we look at our lives, there's constantly, over and over again, this choice that we are being called to make. And it's the choice of whether we're going to follow God or whether we're going to follow self. Whether we're going to do what God wants us to do or whether we're going to do what we want to do. Because those, you know, and so, you know, and it's not always cut and dry. God doesn't send us emails every day saying, all right, this is your agenda for today. I want you to accomplish these five things. It would be nice sometimes, I think, if He would do that. It would make it a little bit easier for us to know that, hey, we're on the right track. But He doesn't do that. But he does guide us and direct us through His Word and through His Spirit, through His people. He does let us know. And if we are searching and seeking after Him, guess what? We'll find Him. That's what Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So it is a choice that we must remember that we have to make every single day. It's great when a person comes to faith in Christ and they make that decision to, you know, surrender to the Lord and ask them to forgive them for their sin and accept that blood that Jesus shed on the cross. That's a wonderful thing. But we have to understand and remember that we have to, after we make that first-time salvation decision, we're saved one time. And you're saved on that day as you're ever going to be. But we have to continually reinforce and remind ourselves of that decision that we've made and renew that decision day by day. Say, you know what, today I am going to follow God. I'm going to do what God says. I want to be where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do. And even throughout the day, you wake up in the morning and you say, you know what? That's going to be my day, and that's my plan, and that's my task. This world will come at you through the day. And it will throw things in your way to see whether you really have made that choice that morning or not. And so it's not just a one-time decision. It needs to be a daily, in fact, a multiple times a day decision and choice that we had to follow Jesus. You remember Joshua as he stood that great sermon or message that he gives the children of Israel before he dies. And he says to the children of Israel, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? He said, if it seems evil for you to serve God, then you go and you serve the gods of this world and, you know, do what you want to do. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And somewhat of a mini revival broke out for a little while. The children of Israel did follow God. Remember, they answered Joshua and they said, hey, we're like you. We will follow the Lord. We will live and worship and obey Yahweh. Well, that was good. But you read a little bit further down through history, and it wasn't very long, where they were saying again, well, yeah, we know we said we were not going to serve these false gods, but once in a while is not so bad. Hey, I'm going to temple most Sabbath days. Don't I get credit for that? Well, the thing is that God says, you know what, we're either His all the time or we're not His. And so there's this choice to be made, and that choice lives within us and inside of us and something that we have to make every single day of our life. And rest assured, there will be forces, there will be other people. And Isaiah mentions these other people that choose differently than what Isaiah and his family chose. And Isaiah says, keep on keeping on. You don't listen to those naysayers. You don't allow those that aren't worshiping God to knock you off course. It is a dangerous thing when we allow people and what they're doing to affect our walk with the Lord negatively. We say, well, that person's not going to church, or they're not doing this, or not, so I'm not going to do it either. Now, our relationship with God and our walk with Christ is not based on that other person. It's based on what Jesus has done for us. And we're not accountable for that person, but guess who we are accountable for? We're accountable for ourselves. And God's not going to hear an excuse when we stand before Him on Judgment Day. Well, my wife or my husband, my neighbor, my Sunday school, they led me astray, Lord. You know, I don't think God's going to say, oh, okay, I didn't. You're good, come on. We'll just, no, that ain't going to happen. Because we are accountable for our own choices. So understand that there is a choice to be made. Secondly, Isaiah reminds us that there is a call to take up. He says, listen, God has given us this message of hope, and He's given us this redemption, and He's promised that, hey, we need to follow Him. And so we're not going to listen to those naysayers and to the people that are, we're not going to do that. We're going to make a choice to do what God says. But then when we do what God says, He reminds us that that also means that we have to do what God says to do. And behave in the way that He says to behave. And so He says, you know what? Don't be afraid of threats and, all the conspiracy things. Understand that God has called you to be faithful to Him and to worship Him. And He uses the image of the tabernacle, of it being a stumbling block and a trap. Not in a trap in the sense that it's trying to trick people, but there is this, idea throughout Scripture that be sure your ways and your decisions will find you out. If you choose to follow God's law and you live according to His prayer, your life is going to be blessed, not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be easy street, but it will be blessed. But if you choose to have heard and know those oracles of God and you disregard them, you mark my words, you mark God's words, it's going to come and it will be your undoing. It will destroy you. It destroyed nations, destroyed kingdoms, destroyed families, and it still does today. And so he says, you know what? You understand that there's this call that God expects you. He's not concerned about what everybody else is doing or what is politically expedient or considered politically correct. You do what you know God has told you to do and don't waver from it. So the people may not listen. Well, he says, you know what? Disciples, you take God's word and you close it up and you wrap it up tight and you protect, because the day will come when there will be some that will listen. It's not that God's word doesn't have any effect. And we see that in the church. There are a lot of people, you know, we live in a land that anybody that wants to can go to church. They have that ability, but there's a lot of people we know that choose not to go. Not that, you know, coming to church is what makes you a Christian or makes you right with God. It doesn't. But it's an indicator or a healthy sign of what's going on in your life when you do come to church. Because you recognize that God is working in your life and that God has made a difference and you need Him. Because the truth of the matter is, without Him, none of us have any hope of making it. But with Him, we have the assurance that we'll make it to the end. And so here, even in this midst of this message of, hey, Assyria's coming and it's not going to be pretty, there's this message of hope. There's these glimpses of the gospel scattered throughout Isaiah's message that, hey, listen, God will be faithful and God will protect. Put your hope and your trust in Him. Not in the things of this world. There are a lot of people that, you know, their blood pressure goes sky high because they're trusting in political parties, or they're trusting in stock markets, or they're trusting in, you know, 401ks and saving all these different things. And guess what? Those things are like a roller coaster. Up and down they go. And so if that's what your life's based on, your life is constantly going like this. God doesn't intend for our life to be a roller coaster. God intends for us to know the abiding, peaceful love and grace and mercy that comes only by His hand. But the thing is that we have to wait on the Lord. We have to obey the Lord. We have to, you know, make Him the priority of our life. And when He's number one and we're making that conscious decision every day and we're taking that call to be faithful and be witnesses for Him, then our life, though it's not perfect, it is blessed. And we see that, you know what, we don't know all the answers. There's an old hymn in our hymn book that says, I don't know who about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. And you see, when you're abiding in God, when you've taken up the task that God has given you to do, and you've made that choice that you're going to obey Him and live for Him, no matter what else is going on in the world, He's right there beside you holding your hand. And that should give you confidence and peace, knowing that whatever comes your way, you and God can handle it. You can muster it, and God will see you through it. But then, lastly, this morning, not only is there a choice that's to be made, Isaiah talks about, and a call to take up, a call to be faithful to the Lord, but there, lastly, is a curse to see. It began even in Isaiah's lifetime. Isaiah knew the writing on the wall. He gave the message as faithfully as God gave it to him. Isaiah gave that message to the people. And they chose not to listen by and large, as most of the time people rejected the prophets. It was usually not a good thing when the Lord's prophet came to town. He didn't have a parade and a, you know, welcome to town banquet. Because most of the time when he came, he wasn't bringing good news. And Isaiah said, he said, listen, you know what? God is there for me, and I know God, and I'm going to live for Him, and He's going to be faithful. But there's going to be some who decide they're going to trust in government, and they're going to trust in their possessions and in their abilities. And the day is going to come when the crops aren't there anymore, and the government has changed and is not on their side anymore. And the things that they put their trust in, they're going to find gone. And they'll wonder and they'll cry out to the Lord, where's God? You know, and all the tragedies that we've faced here over the last several years, you know, every time there's a tragedy, there's always this question that people, well, where was, if God is good and God is alive, why would these things happen? These things happen not because God's not around, but because we have allowed evil and sin to reign in this world, and we're seeing the effects of that. We're seeing, and so it says, listen, the time will cut. They, you know, they're going to seek in mediums and wizards and try to do all that when they should be going to the priest and saying, you know, all right, priest, all right, prophet, what does God say? And what do we need to be doing to get out of this mess? But instead, and it started with the king, remember, Ahaz went to a foreign dignity. You know, he made foreign alliances to protect his country rather than depending upon God. And God is going to judge him for it. And so it's, you know, the leadership was corrupt. The spiritual leaders were corrupt, leading the people astray. And the people were going, you know, to these false mediums. And, you know, we've got, you don't see them around so much anymore, but, I remember when I was growing up, there's those 900 number you call for the psychic network, and they would, you know, you don't hear about that much anymore. But, you know, the people would pay money to, you know, hear this fortune of what life would hold. God says, you know what, we're not supposed to do that. He said we're supposed to seek Him for the answers of what tomorrow holds. And sometimes He lets us know, sometimes He doesn't. But what He does say, listen, your works will find you out. Your works will follow you. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. And Scripture says that if we are truly saved, then it reflects in our life. Isaiah said, you know, there's some that they trust in these mediums and these soothsayers and these wizards and witchcraft and, you know, don't seek after the Lord, but seek after people that, you know, they think they can manipulate or will tell them things that they want to hear. So you know what? There's no light in that. There's no life. And so he says in verse 21, he said, you know what? They'll pass through the times hard-pressed and hungry. And it's going to happen when they're hungry that they're going to look up to the government and say, where were you? And they're going to look up to God and say, God, we're hungry. And God's not going to be there for them. Because they are reaping what they knew what the consequences would be, but they chose anyway. They didn't believe that God would really curse them. They really thought, you know what? God loves us so much, and you know what? We're His children, so there's no way He's really going to punish us, so we're just going to do what we want to do. Well, they were in for a very sad awakening because the Assyrians did come. And they did, you know, destroy the land. They took all the crops, all that was good in the land. They took all the young people, the people that they could turn into slaves, and they took all the leaders and carted them off and left behind only those that were weak, sick, and elderly. But by the way, Isaiah reminds us that's exactly what God said was going to happen. And it wasn't that, and it is not that God is to blame. Because God told them what the result would be if they chose that course of action. And by the way, the same is true in our life today. We understand that when we choose to rebel and to disobey God, there will be consequences and there will be a curse that will be put on our life. Not because God is evil, but simply because God says that, listen, you follow me and you'll be blessed, disobey, and there's going to be consequences that are not good. You know, we choose whether we are blessed or whether we're cursed. And still today, even in our world today, there are people that know better and choose cursing rather than the blessing of God. There are people that decide, you know what, maybe religion's not for them, or that, you know, God just, they've changed their mind about God and they're going to go do their own thing. There's people that, you know, make those choices and that kind of thing all the time. And listen, we need to understand God is not someone that we can manipulate. He's not someone that is interested in playing Simon Says. But what he wants is people that love him and will respond to him and make the choice to follow him, to take up the call that God gives to them to live an honest life and a holy life before others, so that they remain faithful to God who's been faithful to them. But then the very stark reality that there is, just as there's blessings for those that know God, there's cursings for those that reject Him. There's cursing here in this life, and there's definite cursing in the next one for all eternity. And there are evil people that seem like they're blessed and they get away with an awful lot in this world. But the reality is, whatever they think they got away with in this world, they'll pay for in the next. The Bible talks about the place called hell that is a place of torment, weeping, gnashing of teeth. Is not a pleasant place. It's not a place where you would want even your worst enemy to be for all eternity. But hell is real. And those that reject God are destined to spend eternity there. And the thing is, God tells us that. God says, hey, listen, you can make the choice. You choose where you spend eternity. And the reality is that God does not send anyone to heaven or send anyone to hell. The reality is each individual chooses for themselves by the choices they make in life which path they'll take. God desires, obviously, that they would choose to follow Him and be blessed. Peter tells us that the God's not willing that any should perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. But that doesn't mean everybody will. God will allow anyone to repent, and He will receive anyone that repents. But it's up to us to make that choice. And then once we make that choice, we have a call to take up to honor God every day with our life and live according to His standards and what He wants for us. Because there really is a curse and we see that in our world today and people that are dealing with some terrible stuff. And a lot of times, not all the time, but most of the time, we find ourselves in the circumstances we find ourselves in because of the choices that we have made. And yes, it's sometimes impacted by, you know, family or other people that have made choices that surround it. But by and large, we end up where we end up because of choices that we make in life. whether that's good or bad. Now, there's not one of us here that always makes good choices. But hopefully, as we walk with the Lord and as we lean on Him, when we depend on Him, God's not going to have us make a bad choice. He's not going to tell us to do something that's bad for us. And so the more we listen to the Lord, guess what? The better choices we make. And the better choices we make, the better life we have. And the better road we have that leads us to an eternity of blessing. And so I hope God reminds us of that, and friend, that we're reminded and we ask ourselves this question, you know what, am I going to play God says or am I going to play Simon says today? And says, Simon, you put your name in there. You see, you can't play God says and Aaron says. You've got to choose. And it's always best and it's always wisest to pick, you know what, I'm going to play God says today and do what God wants rather than what I think I should do or pick my own way. So I hope God will help us and encourage us, challenge us with that important truth. Just as Isaiah needed to say these words to the nation of Israel nearly 3,000 years ago, history repeats itself because we don't learn from past mistakes. And we're seeing some of these same things unfold today in 2021. And rest assured, Jesus is coming again. Just like He came, we celebrated, you know, a couple weeks ago, the fact that He rose from the dead. And Scripture says, just surely as He was born of a virgin, just surely as He rose again on Easter morning, He was, and then went to heaven 40 days later, He's coming back again. And we need to be ready, and we need to be living for Him. Not letting people and their bad choices affect us. God's not going to say, well, God, everybody else was doing it, and I didn't want to be left out. That's not going to cut it. He's going to say, I don't care what everybody else was doing. I care what you were doing. And so I hope God will help us and encourage us with that. Let's stand together this morning, and we'll be dismissed for Sunday school. And